Reading in the book of Zohar, the Noah portion, the article is and he began and planted a vineyard, item Shintet, page 51. You can ask questions at cab.tv. Selected questions that are relevant to the topic will be aired. Zohar for All, page 51. You can download it at cab.coil. Item Shintet. Such as that with the sons of Aaron, who were drunken by wine. Who gave them wine to drink? Is it conceivable that they were so insolent that they were drunken by wine? But it is certainly that they were drunken by the same wine, as it is written, and offered strange fire before the Lord. And there it is written that they may keep you from a strange woman. And it is all one thing. We have to go back. Every time to the real perception of the world, which is that it's all happening within us. Aaron is the quality of mercy. When the quality of mercy develops in us, it evolves like any evolution through increasing of the desire to receive, which awakens uncorrected, and by correcting it, we are rewarded with elevating our qualities to greater equivalence with the Creator. And then the sons of Aaron, meaning the development of his quality, now depends on the intensification of the will to receive. Wine is light of wisdom. Drinking wine is when you might get intoxicated. It's when you receive light of wisdom from below upwards instead of receiving it only from below upwards in the middle line. And a person should translate all of that into his qualities of bestowal, which should be corrected over the constantly increasing will to receive, and how he arranges them for greater ascension in order to bestow upon the Creator. So let's read it again, and with this internal search, what happens in the little world within us, because man is a small world. So, what each word points to. Item Shintet, such as that with the sons of Aaron, who were drunken by wine. Who gave them wine to drink? Is it conceivable that they were so insolent that they were drunken by wine? These qualities in me. But certainly they were drunken by the same wine, as it is written, and offered strange fire before the Lord, meaning the light that they should have received in order to bestow. They could not handle it. And there it is written that they may keep thee from a strange woman. And it is all one thing. Because a strange woman or a kosher woman is the will to receive in a person. Which grows in this way, from Aaron to the sons of Aaron. In order to bestow from below upwards, you draw the intoxicating wine. You draw that light from above downwards. Drunkenness by wine is extension of illumination of the left from above downwards. At that time, the point of the quality of judgment appears, and the klipa of a strange woman awakens, and the mochin depart from the nukva, and the sinner dies. The difference between nukva and a strange woman depends on what a person does with his desire. Certainly, they were drunken by the same wine, as it is written, and offered strange fire. With the drunkenness, they bring the klipa closer to nourish from the kedusha, from the holiness, and the mochin depart, because the male is called strange fire, and the nukva is called strange woman. It depends on how you use your desire. In order to bestow, it's called fire. In order to receive, it's called woman. Shinyud. And also, similarly, and he drank off the wine and was drunken and was uncovered. And for that, Ham, father of Canaan, was awakened. Because of him, the point of the quality of judgment was revealed, which is the nakedness of his father. And Canaan was given a place to govern. And this Noah, righteous, being in the covenant, made him sterile. And we learned that he removed the covenant from him, and the mochin de holada departed from him, which are corrected only by the correction of the holy covenant. This is considered being castrated, sterilized. In other words, he can't make a zivug in order to bestow anymore. Noah was a righteous man. He was covered in order to bestow. And Ham couldn't do it. This is called uncovering the nakedness of his father. He couldn't. It's when a person cannot cope with this development. Ham sinned with his vision, with his seeing, not Canaan. Each name is a quality in the will to receive of a person, in each person. And why was Canaan cursed but not Ham? It is written, and was uncovered. The point of the quality of judgment was revealed. Ham is from the left line, we learned it. Shem Ham and Yefet. So the point of the quality of judgment was revealed, which is the nakedness of his father. And over the uncovering of the point, Ham, father of Canaan, was awakened through his seeing, since he was the left line. And Noah drew his illumination from above downwards. And because of that, the quality of judgment appeared. But since Noah did not intend to sin, the mochin did not depart. Because of the uncovering of the point, but through the uncovering of the point of the quality of judgment, by that, Canaan was given strength to come close and nourish from the nukva. And the klipa of Canaan is the primordial serpent, and it is the strange fire that comes closer because of the point of the quality of judgment. And he sterilized it because of Canaan. The mochin de holada departed from him. These are the mochin de chaya that he had. Thus, Ham did not do anything to him, but Canaan, his son. Hence, he cursed Canaan. But the text covers it, because it is in the glory of God to conceal a thing. In each degree, there are different actions, strange fire, strange woman, instead of the previous degree. The clothing can be more corrupt than the previous states, because the will to receive grows every time. Shin Yud Aleph. Because of that, Noah said, cursed, because the curses awakened first in the world through him, because he is the servant. He will be a servant of servants. Everything will be corrected in the future, and Canaan will not be corrected, and all the servants will be freed, and Canaan will not be freed forever. And this is the secret that for those who know the ways and paths of the Torah. Only at the end of correction through a special act, operation, this will to receive will be corrected by what is written, these two drops that come to the Great Sea, well, it's a special operation. But it is not through the sequel operations of the soul will that fundamentally corrupt will to receive be corrected, which is the primordial state or Canaan or gold. All these offshoots of Ham that came through Noah. Questions? Yes, Moti. Our whole work is to beget degrees, what we call sons. Here I get the impression that the sons fail. What does it mean that they're sons, that they build? Yes, banim, bonim, sons, build in Hebrew. Let's say I'm Noah, I'm in a good situation. All of a sudden, appear in me, or I am shown, the Creator shows me new qualities through studying, through trying in all of the efforts that I make, the light that reforms comes. What does the light do? It shines more strongly in me. And I begin to see bad things in me, desires, thoughts, intentions. This is called discovering within me a single quality called Noah, and all the rest of the qualities, still vegetative, animate, everything was corrupt. The desire is entirely corrupted, all kinds of discernments and qualities and thoughts and desires in me, everything, other than this little Noah. So what do? I say that I don't have a choice from what I learn, from what I see and think, through society, through everything, what appears in me. What appears is that if I want to unite with God as much as I can, as much as I can picture it, I have to kind of put myself on hold with my good desires, which are very small. You kind of put them in an ark, and with the rest you can't work. To me, it's thinking about business, thinking about all kinds of desires, all kinds of things. I have to take it, but just a little bit of it, and of that build my own little world in the ark. Everything else can be drowned by the flood. I can't handle it. So I went through it. In the next stage, new desires that were born out of the old state appear. These are the sons. There are desires in which I got stronger, like, Yefet, even Shem, but with Ham, there are desires in me that grew worse in me. In the previous state, in smaller reviews, I didn't feel something so bad about them. But all of a sudden, with my new sight and my new observations, I see that they are such that maybe previously I thought about relating them, adding them to the new life, to the new land after the flood, but I see that now there are still such desires there that even though they went through the flood, now as they grow, as much as I can see, I won't be able to cope with them. So what do I do with them? They say, there's nothing you can do. True, you didn't know, but you were carrying with you through the flood, through all those degrees, you were carrying the serpent. He was hidden in there. And the truth is, the serpent continues through the end of correction. They'll always be able to sort out of it, because it's a stony heart. In each degree, you have nine sefirot and malchut of the quality of judgment that you can't cope with, that you'll have to somehow freeze, and that's it. What can you do? And as it is written, the Lord's war against Amalek is forever until the end of correction in all the degrees. You have to sort it out. So that's how I do it. And at one time it appears in gold, this left force, the left klipa, in the calf, and opposite that you have silver. Silver is from below upwards, gold is from above downwards when you draw. Or in the wine, you have yeast and everything we learn in Taz. Through these names you scrutinize these desires, these discernments in the will to receive. And intoxicating wine and holy wine, meaning that can be sorted from below upwards, yes, a wine that rejoices, yes, rejoices the heart of man and God, when you can receive in order to bestow. And intoxicating means you draw from below upwards, from above downwards, as light of wisdom. And after the second restriction, you can only receive it by rejection from below upwards, in illumination of Chokhmah within Chesedim. So I constantly think of me. The Torah was not written about history, not one bit of it. The fact that they spiritual root has to touch the corporeal branch, so it happens. But if these people, when they were going through these stages, did they understand who they were or not? It's questionable. Bala Sulam writes, for example, that the Mount of Olives was given this name by a person who was looking at this hill, and he thought, well, this is good for my olives. It happened because a person works out of a spiritual root that just manifests in him, and a person operates. So was there a Noah? There was a Noah. Was he righteous in his generations? Did he understand what he was doing? We'll talk about it. It's a question. If he was or wasn't. Shem, Ham, and Yefet, were they sons? Yes. Were they so righteous or not? Did they understand? Did they speak to God? We have to sort it out. We have to clarify it. But I don't care about this history. According to history, the spiritual world must acquire some kind of projection in corporeality. So we did. That's not important to me. What's important is that I put it in order with respect to myself. It only speaks of a person. I don't care about the rest, as if it doesn't exist, as if there's no this world, no history, no Israel, no Babel, no nations of the world, nothing. I am now in the middle of space, vacuum, nothing. And it's all in me. Just as we learn in the perception of reality. Who am I standing in the middle of space? Someone feels what? What the Zohar writes. Nothing else exists. That's how I study it. Because I study it from within my own soul. And in my soul there's only a desire. It's still raw, without parts, discernments, all kinds of accumulations, integrations. I have to put it in order. I do it to the extent that I try. I make an effort. Maybe it's this way, maybe that way, maybe it's Noah. Maybe it's the three sons that came out of this discernment. Everything is an observation. Insight, discernment. So I try, that's what I try to constantly picture, and I have nothing in front of me. I am a point that tries to find in it all those discernments.
So can I aspire for my sons to be only like Moses? And I don't want Yefet and Ham. No, the Torah tells you all that you include. You have to try to detect all of that. Everything. And the Zohar doesn't take all that is written in the Torah, even in the Pentateuch. It only takes what it sees adequate to walk with you. Later you'll be able to see all those things. And there is no past and future in the Torah means that in some situation you may discover what happened to you when you were in the state of Noah, for instance, and so on, because everything is just one inclusive general system which is closed. It's a complete system. So there is no sooner or later in the Torah means that any place you make an action puts the soul and all its parts into it. Because everything is included of 10 sefirot and so on until infinity. So everything that has to do with your development and the research of your soul, I don't know, say it's something that has to do with the battles of Joshua in the land of Israel. And that has to do with how it projects on your discernments of Noah or Abraham or David, which will come later. It doesn't matter, because it's all one complete system. It's all the same ten sefirot, which become apparent to you more and more. The connections between them. It's like you're zooming in deeper and deeper. But when you're zooming in, on the one hand, you're going in. On the other hand, you see more horizontally. Because you basically understand how the specific detailed sefirot provide you with a bigger general picture. Nessie says, I want to ask about the Zohar who has whose power is so great. How about the work with the surrounding light? Is it the same work like we learned over the years? Is it the same conditions? I don't know what you mean by what we already learned. We learned that by the study, by studying, a person who wants to know who he is, where he is, how he connects with the Creator, how he reveals all of his qualities, where he sees that this is him and this is reality and this is the system and here's the Creator. Who is the Creator? The whole world is within me. All that I discover is all the souls, and so on. So the Zohar talks about this inner work exactly. It provides us with what is called the field that was blessed by the Creator, which means that by reading, by searching for those qualities and elements within me, I can truly find the components of the soul. And whether I can be in those qualities or not, where I am, what do I lack in order to be in those qualities. Even when we say the primordial serpent, or Cham, or gold, all that evil power, the intoxicating wine, the love, which means the light of Chokhmah that I receive, the pleasures that I receive in order to receive. Not those that I think, even if I think that it's somehow in order to bestow. Later in further levels, I discover that it was really in order to receive. and in the meantime I think it's for Kedusha, and so on. All those states that I'm going through and scrutinizing, that's the true work of the Creator, and it's the most pronounced in the Zohar. Article on page 51, Bathsheba and Uriah. Item Shin Yud Bet. For I know my transgressions. Human beings must be cautious of the Creator with their sins, because after a man sinned, his sin is recorded above, and it is not erased, but only by a great repentance. Item Shin Yud Gimel. Since man sinned before the Creator, it, for the first time, it makes an impression, leaves an impression. When he sinned a second time, that impression strengthens. When he sinned a third time, that stain expands to all sides. Item Shin Yud Daled. King David, since he sinned before the Creator with regards to Bathsheba, he thought that this sin was recorded forever. It is written, "The Lord too has put away thy sin, thou shalt not die," indicating that that impression was removed. Item Shin Tet Vav. We've learned that Bathsheba belonged to King David since the day the world was created. Therefore, why did the Creator give her to Uriah the Chiti beforehand? Again, everything is within. There is malchut, the desires, and those that can be used, like Bathsheba. It's a desire that can be used, like David uses it, and like Uriah uses it, in order to receive, in order to bestow. What is the sin we're talking about? Well, we know that sin means in order to receive. So we're clarifying his desires, a desire here called Bathsheba, and a style it can be used, called David or Uriah or Uriah. Item Shin Tet Zayin. These are the ways of the Creator, although the woman is ready for a person to be his, someone else precedes him and marries her before the other one's time has come. This is something we learn from everything, right? If a person cannot commit a mitzvah without violating it first, meaning that first we reveal the evil, then we do good. So the same will to receive is first used in order to receive, and that is called using the woman in the wrong way, and next time it is done in the right way. And it is symbolized by two men. One is not qualified, the one is qualified, and they use the same woman. So look how the story sounds like. It's a story, but it turns into something spiritual. These are the ways of the Creator, although the woman is ready to belong to the man, precisely to the man, someone else precedes him and marries her before the time of the previous one who will become corrected has come. And since the other one's time has come, the one who married her was rejected and departed from the world. Uriah is called the second one. And this is hard for the Creator to move him away from the world against the other one before his time. meaning it takes a while until he knows his evil and then turns in order to bestow, and what he does now is in order to receive. Everything is done gradually. Item Shin Yud Zayin. The secret is that Batsheva was given first to Uriah the Hitti. Go out and learn why the land of holiness was given to Canaan first before Israel came. And you will find that it's all the same thing. Batsheva and also the land of Israel are the Nukva. And the beginning of the building of the Nukva starts with Mochin of the left illumination. Later, she's built by the Mochin of Panim, of the face, with all the three lines. Uriah is the Mochin of Chochmah without Chasadim, the illumination of the left. And the aspect of King David is the Mochin of Panim, of the three lines, meaning that it is corrected, it receives in order to bestow. Therefore, although Batsheva, who was the spouse of David, in order for her to be able to receive the Mochin of Panim from David, she had to first marry Uriah, meaning to reveal the left first, in order to receive from him the backside of the left illumination. Because she cannot receive the Mochin of Panim before she receives the Mochin of the backside, which is the Mochin of the left illumination. Because of the same reason, Canaan ruled Israel before it was given to Israel. Because while the Nukva receives from the Mochin of the left line, the shell of Canaan governs her, the dross of gold. But she cannot receive the Mochin of the face of Panim, which is Israel, before she receives the Mochin of the left line. And therefore, Canaan necessarily governed her before Israel came. So you see that the giving of Batsheva to Uriah before she was given to David, and so the governance of Canaan in the land of holiness before it was given to Israel is the same thing, and it's the same secret. It is because the illumination of the left line is necessary for the Nukva before she receives the three lines. Look how the Zohar explains this simply and nicely. I remember there was always a question right about that issue. What about Uriah and King David? He's called a king, and he's the holy King David, and how could he have done these things? Kabbalah can explain these things. If you try to interpret them in corporeality, how can you do it? Our friend from the U.S. is asking, do we go through all of that before the machzom, the barrier? What do you mean, do we go through all of that before the barrier? I don't know what you mean by going through all that after the barrier, too. There are basically souls who go through these things in a very specific, clear way. Some go through these things in a kind of a marginal way. And others go through it in a very vague way, yet reaching their end of correction, their final correction. Each soul according to its height, according to its level of coarseness, of youth, according to its characteristic, to what part of Adam HaRishon, of the inclusive collective soul, it belongs. So does everyone go through this? Everyone. Each and everyone? Yes. They all have to go through everything? Yes. But like in our world, a person might use everything that this world has to offer, but he doesn't really understand everything. He just uses it, you know, just like the whole world. Some people better understand specific aspects in the world, whether it's music or biology or geology or technology. Some people want to include and whatever the world has to offer. It depends on the root of their soul. And what we're doing here is we're dealing with a study that belongs to everyone. Each and every one clarifies what they need for themselves. So every one of us that is now reading is reading differently, and we cannot compare our impressions. And everyone is impressed differently, and that's how it should be.
For this reason, we just have to experience it the way the light gives it. And the story is a story. And everyone evolves not through the story, but when the light that reforms shines on a person's desire, on his substance. And in that substance, there are shemot, genes. It's very similar to what people think about stem cells. The light that awakens our substance, in our substance, awaken reshimot that are typical, specific to that specific soul, and they build out of the matter through the light. These reshimot build a special structure out of the substance, a special structure of that soul. And everyone has his own structure. That's how it happens. We'll talk about it. Go on. Item Shin Yud Chet. David, although he confessed his sin and repented, his heart and desire was not removed from those sins that he sinned, and from that sin of Bathsheba, because he feared always that perhaps he would sin in one of them, and he will complain about him at a time of danger. Because of that, he did not remove them from himself and from his will. This is why he said, "For I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." Because if he wants to maintain the middle line, he must certainly feel both left and right, and to always have them before him. So out of that, he builds the middle line. Yes, I cut my will to receive off, where I can't cope with it, because Uriah means the light of God. And that's the whole, that's all the light that appears in the ten sefirot, in a direct form, complete. And that's impossible. And David is the corrected Malchut, King of Israel, straight to God, working in the midline. So he can't handle it like Bathsheba that appears opposite Uriah, the whole of the will to receive that the light appears before it. And then comes David and brings this quality and uses only a part of that desire. Because it's clear that if he uses more of it, he'll sin on one hand. On the other hand, the sin is in David, because the Creator wants you to receive in order to bestow, whatever, as long as you receive on one hand. On the other hand, the fact that you haven't achieved the end of correction is also considered a sin. The fact that you look like a righteous, it's like you with respect to the host. He's prepared for you a whole feast with thousands of types of refreshments, and you're taking a cracker out of it, just a biscuit. What? Maybe you can just smell them. Is that bestowing upon the host? That's the sweet savor when we receive from below upwards. So that's a sin too. So a sin isn't necessarily when you discover that your desires are all in order to receive. It's obvious, because the Creator made it for you this way. It's written that they did it that way. But as long as you limit yourself, you feel that it's a kind of painful compromise, both to the Creator and to the creature. And this pain has to be, yes, my sin is always before me, has to be, the limitation has to be not as pride, yes, I limited myself in order to bestow. It's got to be in pain. That I would like to receive everything in order to bestow, but I can't. And I don't even have, how should I put it, I don't even have a demand for it. I understand that in the end you have to receive all of it in order to bestow it. I'm too small. I can't even ask for that strength. Because a person doesn't ask for the king's daughter. Ask and you'll get it. I can't ask. There's a... Well, these are states that appear. But the important thing is to understand that it's all about one point. Me being in all those states. Go on. Shinyutet. For I know my transgressions. My transgressions, all the degrees upon which the sins of people depend. I know, meaning he has already corrected them. And my sin is ever before me. This is the waning of the moon, which he did not correct. It's still not like the sun, right? We learned that you have to have two great lights. Malchut, being the moon, has to shine like the sun, like Zeranpin. Yeah, like the Creator. The creature has to achieve the same degree as the Creator, to receive everything in order to bestow. Because she did not correct her flaw until Solomon came. And then she illuminated in fullness, without any flaw. And then the world was perfumed, corrected, and Israel sat safely. Meaning, that part, which is called Israel, achieved its private end of correction through an act called King Solomon. It is written, and Judah and Israel sat, and still my sin is ever before me. Meaning that in the days of Solomon too, the waning of the moon was not corrected in completeness. Because it's not all the will to receive, it's not complete redemption. Because the temple was ruined again, and the moon, which is the Nukva, waned again, return to its diminished state, and the flaw will not cease from the world until the Messiah King comes in the future, as it is written, and I will cause the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Well, that's simple now, huh? After all the preparations, you get it. Questions? Yes. What does it mean that he writes that the sin is registered forever? Forever means until the end of correction. We have to uncover the left line, correct it, because you can't measure how much you're permitted if you don't measure who you are and what is the pleasure. And malchut should appear to the fullest, opposite that, the whole of the pleasure. That you have to have both, one opposite the other, feeling that you are seemingly sinning. This is called the revelation of the wicked that appear. It's called, I've created the evil inclination that a person has to feel. And then I've created the spice of Torah. Meaning you begin to process the fear that you're in, that now you're going to receive in order to receive. And that makes you anxious. And then you're willing to restrict yourself. And then you need the Creator to stop you, to hold you, to not let you sin, to help you measure and understand where you are. For that, you need the light of Abzag to shine and show you thus far and not more. Sag measures it for you, like in Tzimtzum Bet, in the second restriction. When the light gives you the discernments that it shines, it's thus far, it's versus a bestowal. From here on, it's versus a reception. Those you can use, those you're forbidden to use, etc. It all comes by first discovering the left. At the same time, you discover the forces of the right, because there's no right without left. You need the light. With the right preparation from the right, you discover the left, so then you don't sin. You don't immerse. You don't enter the left, but only, how should I put it? You know how to use it correctly, or you look at it in a way that's called scrutiny. You don't just dive headfirst, and then you clarify it, and you cut off the part of the general will to receive, and use it correctly in order to bestow. Uriah means in order to receive, because I still can't receive that light, Uriah, the light of Yud-Kei. I can't receive it. It's a light that shines in Yud-Kei. In Vav-Kei, I can't receive it. So Bathsheba, even though she's the whole of Malchut, she's intended for Uriah. But now we're talking about corrections. The Torah speaks not about the end of correction, but it's a method of correction. So Uriah is not a discernment I can work with. With what discernment can I work once Uriah appears opposite Bathsheba? You cut him off. It's called King David killing him. And then he uses it himself, meaning only in the midline. All of these discernments a person has to experience. We learn it in order to want it. And by that, we get an impression, and it affects us. Yesterday I spoke, so it's hard for me to speak today. A friend from New York is asking, what do I do if I don't understand and I am bored during reading the Zohar? I'm tortured and I'm bored and I don't understand. What do I do? What can I tell you? And I learned many things in life. There are many professions that I had no desire for. I learned about metals for 2 years. Who needs it? Not even for my profession. Someone just stuffed it in. For 2 years, if I want to put a little bit of this metal and that metal and add a few chemicals, then what do I get? by what pressure, what heat, under what conditions this composition will be created. You know, the charts you have there. Why did I study it? I don't know. But if you ask me today, you agree that those who study these topics will study this as well, even if they don't need it? I would say yes, because a person's general intelligence, his attitude to life, to science, to scrutiny, to understanding the basics of life, depends on how much you go through and are somehow included in it.
So it seems to you that it doesn't have to do with your soul, that it doesn't have to do with your profession or your future or whatever, but nature is round. And therefore, I don't remember what I studied in music or in that metallurgy or something else. But as I'm studying Kabbalah, those basics, those foundations, somehow help me digest the general picture. Now, he's asking specifically about Kabbalah, that this is boring for him or it's hard for him and he's not getting it. I envy him because it is written that to the extent that I read without understanding, I make an effort. And according to the effort, I succeed. The reward is according to the effort, not according to how much I understand. So, if you don't see it, it's not good. Just, you need to step on it a little. And still, the preparation is needed here. I said it, that if we would read the Zohar a few years ago, we wouldn't be able to relate to it the way we do today. Because still you're studying about Malchut and Tzimtzum Bet and the middle line, and especially as we went through the perception of reality and spoke about that, it gave us some preparations. It's not like we can dive into this freely now, but he may lack some more material to go through. And many are like that, studying with us, and if a person feels that after all my explanations, the heart is blocked and the emotions are not, something doesn't work, you can't even describe these things schematically or sketch those Sfirot, Uriah, Batsheva, David, Noah and his three sons, and so on. So, in that case, you need to add some material from our general study and read many things, and not in order to remember all that, but just in order to kind of go through it. Perhaps even like a quick read through. Maybe in our lessons we need to add, like an aiding lesson, auxiliary lesson, like you do in school. You know, maybe we can do it. We can do it on TV too. You know, just take a digest of what we learn, or the essence of it, the gist of it, and and just explain these simply. How do you explain the opposite phenomenon? I feel that after reading the Zohar, it's easier for me to talk about Pticha, the preface of the Wisdom of Kabbalah, and explain this to campus students. It's because the Zohar includes the whole Wisdom of Kabbalah in it. Everything. You have all the Sefirot here and all the branches, the language of the branches. And we will read the language of legend here too. And some of the language of judgments and rules and so on. There will be a lot with the Kabbalah language, meaning Sefirot and Patsufim. And because it includes everything, to begin with, you must delve into the inner perception of reality. And this is why there is a gathering of the whole wisdom of Kabbalah here. It's like you take all of its different aspects or professions and you put them all together and actualize it. Article, he was a mighty hunter. Item Shinchav. He was a mighty hunter. He was a hero. And he wore the clothing of Adam Alishon. And he knew how to use them to hunt the creatures. Because all the creatures surrendered to him because of those clothing. Those clothing of leather. As it is written, and the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. And there's also, there's clothing with of skin, and there's clothing of light. It's written the same, but with one different letter in Hebrew, with Ayin or with Aleph. So it refers to either Tzimtzum Aleph or Tzimtzum Bet, as we learned, those limitations that come later. So you see, in large, the will to receive, the left line became revealed, and we can't work with it. We make a sin, so to speak. You discover how much you can and how much you can't, and then you go for the middle line. And this happens in general in Adam HaRishon, and later in each and every generation, in each and every level, the entire Kli is revealed, like the state with Uriah and David, and you correct the half of it. You reveal the entire Kli and correct the half of it. This is how it is in all the levels. It's the same style. And they are the upper Mochin. Nimrod had the exterior of those clothings of Adam HaRishon. And by their strength, he conquered and subjugated the entire world under himself. This is the Babel that was a force that was against Abraham. Item Shinchaf Aleph. Nimrod used to lure the creatures to go after him and worship the idol worshipping. Work in idol worshipping. And he governed by the force of those clothings, and he won over the people of the world. And he would say about himself that he is the governor of the world. He made himself God. And people would work for him. And his name was called Nimrod, because from the word marad, to rebel, because he rebelled the upper king. He rebelled the upper ones, the upper holiness, and the lower ones, the people of this world. Item Shinchaf Bet. By the power of those garments or clothing, He governed all people of the world, and he was their king, and he rebelled them, and he rebelled his master. And he said that he was the ruler of the world, that he was the creator, or God. And he would lure the creatures to go after him, to the point that he took the people out of working for the master of the world. Meaning it is the great will to receive that governs us so strongly that we cannot rise above it, and we cannot make any calculation or even feel that any reality of bestowal exists, and that we can live in that reality and raise above this life, which is a life of enslavement, slavery. And although we understand it, we can't rise above it. And that is the force called Nimrod. That's that kind of governance. We will come to know and feel what is the difference between Abraham and Nimrod, and how those two forces work in nature, and it's hard to escape its control. We're under its control. It's a huge governing force. Alexander Sankov from Hencher is asking, where can we see bonding or connection in the Zohar? When we read the Zohar, how can we see actions of connection between us? I don't know what he means. If it's between us, then it has to be there to begin with, beforehand. If I read the Zohar, I approach the Zohar in a way that I'm connected with everyone. The whole of reality is within me. Besides me and the Creator, there is nothing. And I include all the others. How can I include all the others? In a way that I feel them as my own. What do you mean my own? Call it love, doesn't matter. But even without that word love or all those calculations, if we explain that man is a small world, it means that the entire world is within me. If we're talking about perception of reality, that's how I should look at it. Then, of course, I already come from that point where I feel everything within me. And that's where I'm coming from. I am here facing the upper light, the Creator, with all my qualities and discernments, all that I have, and it's all inside of me. Besides me, there's nothing. I do not describe anything outside of me. This is where the Zohar starts from. There aren't many words here, but without having this approach each and every moment, then I don't know, I don't even think that we should keep repeating that every moment. I think we already have some preparation. What I mean by preparation, that we can understand that it's not connected to this world, or to geography, or to the external world. We can already describe myself, and the Creator, and the Masach, the screen, meaning the relationship that I have to build with the Creator. Now, I wanted to add a few words about the Masach, the screen. It isn't some sort of a wall between me and the Creator. The Masach is a system. Because the I, me, is just a point. It's a point of existence from absence that the Creator created. And the Creator is just a point of light, a spark of light that created that existence from absence. And the Masach, the screen, is that great, enormous system that exists between me, that black point, and the white spark of light. Or, as we say later, who is the Masach? What is the Masach? It's not above the will to receive. It is in the will to receive. my relation to the Masach is just when I compare how much can I use the will to receive with the Masach. So it is over the whole will to receive. When I do the calculation, it is called the Rosh of the Partzuf. But the Masach is over the entire will to receive. And when I already compare the will to receive with the Masach, it is called the Toch of the Partzuf. And when I observe and analyze what parts and manners or ways can I or can't I belong my will to receive to the light, and where I can't, it is called the Sof of the Partzuf. So what I'm saying here is that the Masach is working here, and my relationship with the Creator is divided into three ways. One is the calculation, that is called the Rosh of the Partzuf, then the actual reception, which is the actual equivalence, and that's called the Toch of the Partzuf, and how much I can't be in equivalence. These are different calculations. It's not enough for me to just know how much I can relate to my desire to the Creator. I need to see where I can't and where I can't, and the Sof has to be clear, no less than the Toch.
The host says, why don't you want to receive it from me? And I have to explain it to him. So what am I trying to say? The Masach is the system of connection. It's not just a partition that you draw. And this is why when I study the Zohar, by that I constantly clarify what is that system, the connection between me and the Creator. What is the Masach? So it says you have three main parts. Above and below is you and the Creator. And between you is a system that's divided primarily into three axes, etc., etc. Yes. Zohar from Chicago is asking, should we meet after the Zohar lesson with friends and read some more Zohar? Is this the right thing to do? He also adds, if we do it with the intention to bond. Well, they should try, if it works or not. Because it depends on the group, on the level, on the states. And as much as the Zohar is general on one hand and is studied correctly in a group, in unity, on the other hand, it's very personal. So, they should try. I can't say which is better for them. They have to find out for themselves. There are reasons this way and that way. If they can be together and everyone is in thinking internally and clarifying it as the world that is in, then yes. Well, I don't know if it's because of yesterday's evening or because of your voice, I don't know, because of this chapter, but the feeling is that if people, after all of the education of religion and all that, and everyone thought he sinned, he wasn't okay, he did something wrong, the Zohar gives you a feeling that if the whole world gets a little loose here and legitimizes you, because here it tells you everything's correct, like the stem cells, like you described about the stem cells. Well, next to you there might be people sitting who can't hear. You're excited by it and others are not. It's not about excitement. We're going towards a big crowd in Congress, and the feeling is that if the whole world agrees to get on this ship that you call this this aircraft carrier. You can just take any situation. Okay. Let's hope everyone's excited as you. It'll be easier. And now, please. So, we're switching to page 57. The Secrets of Torah, item Shin Mem Vav. The builders of the city and the tower were speaking the holy language, which the serving angels know. They did not speak another language. Because of that, it is written, and now nothing will be withheld from them. And had they spoke another language, which the upper angels do not know, the thought, what they devised to do, would have been withheld from them, because the act of demons is only for a moment, only for people to see, and not more. And the whole earth was of one language. One language means the holy tongue, holy language. Because they spoke the holy language, the higher angels were swearing that they would assist them in their building. For this reason, nothing will be withheld from them which they propose to do. But if they did not speak the holy language, they would not get the help of the angels, and their actions would be the actions of demons that exists for only a moment, and it immediately is cancelled by itself. Well, we learned what the holy language is. The language is the balance. And holiness is the right connection between right and left. The right line means the line of bestowal, the force you receive from above. The left is the line of reception, as much as we have the substance of the will to receive. And if we calculate correctly, this is called being in the holy language, where the balance is entirely in order to bestow. That's how it fixes up the calculation between right and left. And in this way, we can build our soul from its substance, from the will to receive, in its correct structure, which is in order to bestow. And this is called building a city in a way that the higher forces of bestowal, angels, agree with it, understand it, meaning we have the right connection with the Creator, with the power of bestowal, as much as we can in each degree. We use the holy language, meaning the middle line, and thus achieve connection, bonding, equivalence of form every time. Every brick, every piece, every part that we do, build, connect, all of that is in the middle line, the holy language, meaning we always do it from below upwards in order to bestow. It's called from the higher angels, from force in forces that are all to bestow. Shin Mem Zayin. And of one speech. It is written that they had one language and one speech. So one language we explained. It's all connected, and everyone connected and oriented towards bestowal, the Creator. That's the one language. There could be 1,000 languages in the world, obviously, because each desire has its own expression, kind of. But all these expressions are aimed in order to bestow. I smell the host, and I taste what is prepared for me, and I drink, and I eat. There are 1,000 things. I'm even sitting in a special way with special music, with special incense, I don't know, next to this meal, you know. It's not a meal, it's a feast. But it's so it's seemingly different languages, different impressions, but one language means one intention. And of one speech, they knew the higher degrees, each of them in its place. And the degrees were not swapped for another. And because of that, it is said, and of one speech, meaning the degrees were as clear to them as one speech, where there is no effort in knowing them. Because of that, they were given a bad counsel, the counsel of wisdom, as it is written, let us build us a city and a tower. This is the wisdom of the Klipot, Chokhmah. Of the Klipot. Well, we'll have to explain that in the next lesson because this is pretty hefty. And so, yes, questions. We have a few more minutes. I want to ask about something you said before. It's like a bug in the system called Nimrod. It's a virus that confuses everything. No, it's not a bug. Nimrod is our entire will to receive. What's the matter? What's wrong with you? It's like Uriah. It's a big will to receive that controls at that degree. In the previous degree, it could be, call it serpent or gold or Canaan, or Haman, or Hashverosh, Pharaoh. In each degree, you have different names, but it's not just a bug. What do you mean by a bug? What kind of a word is that? Have a little respect to the substance of creation. You know what Nimrod is? Who's Abraham compared to Nimrod? A baby. Nimrod is the whole substance of the will to receive. Abraham is just that part that can work with the will to receive in order to bestow. Chesed, mercy. It's the smallest measure, the smallest. It's fundamental for spirituality, but it's the smallest measure nonetheless. You can't just... So look at how he presents him. Yes, he rebelled against his master. Well, you think it's nothing? Rebelling against the Creator. He replaced the Creator. Stood in. What does the will to receive say? I will rule, not the Creator. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? That's what the Pharaoh said. I am the host. The will to receive is the host. Don't you feel that you are the boss in your ego? Well, so what's the question? Yes? I wish you come to a state where you say it's a bug. Okay, so that's the question because the way I feel it, they're not introducing any solutions. They're just introducing the work. There, of course, there are no solutions in the Zohar. In this book, you find a solution. Who said? Who told you? It says it's the wisdom of the hidden. What solution? You have no solutions in the Zohar. The solution comes through the light that reforms. You know, through the book, through the text, you want to find a solution? Nimrod. Let me see. Abraham, Noah, is that a solution? The solution is, if you read internally correctly, you'll get the solution from above, not from reading those lines. You can look at these words and not be able to read them. It doesn't matter. We will switch to the next lesson, next part of the lesson.